This morning, we spent a lot of time thinking about our membership of the church, our commitment to one another, our commitment to God's work among us, among our community, and even among the city. And that's important. It's important to be purposeful in the things that we do. It's important to be meaningful in the things that we do, that when we love people, we're loving people purposefully. And when we're serving with an aim in mind. And maybe along the way, do a few good things accidentally as well. But this evening, I thought we'd look at the flip side of that, what it means to have an identity in Christ. And identity is really important. It kind of defines how we relate to other people. It defines how we talk to them. It defines how we treat them. If you went your whole life and never realized that you were somebody's child, you wouldn't treat them the same, treat your parents the same way. If you went your whole life and didn't realize that you were maybe a mother or a father, if you didn't realize you were a brother or a friend or an employee, you would treat these other people that you're relating to a little bit differently. And so I just, with those thoughts in mind, can we turn to 1 Peter? It's page 1015 in the Pew Bible, I believe. And so 1 Peter, chapter 2, and we're going to be working from verse 9. And it should appear on the screen as well. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you, as sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. And so you'll notice all the way through the passage here, it talks about our identity, it talks about who we are. And we're going to start particularly looking there from verse 10. It says that once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. And that's kind of our identity, kind of all together and individually, that we belong to God together. I mean, we're very different people in here. There's not a lot that you could ever do to get a lot of us in the same room together. I mean, some of us might have joined a running club or some of us might have joined a book club. Some of us enjoy cooking. Some of us just enjoy a good chat. But you'd struggle to get all of us into the same room and really kind of chatting and loving each other and talking in the way that we do. And there's something a lot more important going on here. That it's not some kind of club that we have just like shared interest. But we're a people. All together. All of us. That through Jesus we have been redeemed, that we can belong to each other in the same way that a family does. And so that's kind of beginning to unpack how we feel about each other when we belong to each other, that should affect the way that we love each other, the way that we hold on to each other, the way we protect each other. And it's good stuff. But it's not something that we ever chose. It's God that chose to do this, not us. And so, going to look back at verse 9. Think about it. We didn't choose to be chosen. We didn't choose to be a race. We didn't choose to be royalty. We didn't choose to be a priesthood or a priest. We didn't choose to be holy. We didn't choose to be one nation. This is all stuff that God has done in us collectively, by adopting us into his family. But what does that mean? What does that mean in the day-to-day, week-to-week? I mean, as I said before, if you didn't realize that you're someone's brother, that'll affect the way you treat them. And so in the same way, if you don't realize that you're chosen, then if you went your whole life without realizing that, then you wouldn't ask the next logical question. You wouldn't ask, okay, what have I been chosen to do? What has God chosen for me to take care of, to help with? If you went your whole life as a Christian and didn't realize that you were royalty, that would really affect you, because you wouldn't realize that you had been adopted as one of God's own children. That you had the right to go into his throne room and to pray to him, to speak to him, to ask him questions, to spend time with him. And that knocks on to the next one as well. If you went your whole life as a Christian, didn't realize you're part of a priesthood, that would really affect things as well. You would, as a priest, I mean, you're interceding for other people. It is your job, it's your identity to go and speak to God for the people that don't know him yet. To actually go before him and pray to him and plead with him. And it's the same with any one of these things, that we didn't necessarily choose them, but they were bought for us, they were purchased for us by Jesus' blood. And so I'm not necessarily open to kind of unpack a load of answers here, but maybe some thoughts and some questions. It's important when we come to God's Word, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, that we come back and think, what does this actually mean for us, for our identity, for the way that we belong to God, the way that we treat each other? And it's exciting stuff. I mean, in a minute or two, we're going to come to communion together. It's the price that was paid to purchase all of us together. And even the word communion, it implies community, it implies all of us. That even, it's kind of not normal and good for us in kind of like Western culture to take communion and really just remember everything that Jesus did for us individually. But it's also healthy to remember what he's done for us corporately, that he's purchased us together to belong to each other, to love each other. And especially just to give thanks for each other as well. Because it's exciting stuff that each of us has been redeemed, we've been purchased, that we wouldn't have gone this way by ourselves. We wouldn't have ended up here as God's children before him. And so it's good and healthy to give thanks for that as well. So I suppose that's just my little challenge, just to leave with you over the next week, next month. Just when you come back to the Word and in your own time, just to maybe ask that little question, what does it mean, what does this mean for me standing before God? What does this mean? How do I relate to my fellow believers and to other people as well?